A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Also, we need to take off sponsored by Sarah Smith on their logo.
Yeah, you know what? Every week I look at that and go, right, I'm gonna take that off tomorrow. And of course, tomorrow never comes.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Your Honor.
If you're interested in becoming a manager, why not speak to my Neil? He can tell you all you need to know about becoming a manager, as he is a manager. He can advise you on management overalls, management willies, and the right management hand scrub to use to get the pig shit out from under your fingernails. Because he's a manager. This is Dumpty Dum, sponsored by managers.
Goodness, I was a bit premature then. Folks, this is Dumpty Dum, the show about the reality docudrama that are centred on Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands, on the community-spirited flower and produce show that is Royfield Brown. And with me at the total fix, that is...
Lucy Freeman.
Good heavens, woman, where are you? Where were you? What's going on? You're not very quick on the draw this week, are you?
Sorry, no.
It's very apt for me to say, Lucy... There's a somewhat of a pregnant pause before you answered. What's up with you? Does your chest need a rubbing? It does, doesn't it?
I am in an advanced state of death. I'm just awash with Lemsip, cold and flu, tissues. It's disgusting. The whole office smells of menthol eucalyptus thingy, Bobby. Yes, if I have to have a coughing fit, I shall trot off mic, have a quick wheeze, and then come back.
But
when you make me laugh, as you did earlier, I then sound like a really, really old lady because I go into like this extended wheeze that just goes on and on and on.
I only have one joke in me per episode, and I use that off mic, so you're safe, missus. Don't worry. Now... Well, okay, maybe one and a half. So I'm now auditioning. Okay, 1 3/4. I'm now auditioning, folks, for the new Lucy Freeman, because it looks like she's on her last legs. So if you want to co-host Dumpty Dum with me next week, apply on on a postcard, and you can apply to PO Box 111 and just say why you think you can do it, and awesome. So next week we'll have a new Lucy. But Lucy, being as it's your last week as Lucy, before the new Lucy takes in as Lucy, why don't you tell us, oh goodness, I've all got this ass about cock. I'm going to rewind, right? Because I thought it was time for you to tell us how people could send in a Dumpty Dum. But first, I have to go back to the script and go, right, and the last part of Leonard's dodgy scrap cakes, folks, is you. Good heavens. If you've listened to Dumpty Dum for the first time, you're thinking, what the hell is this? Now, this week's Dumpty Dum was from Martin Williams. He's a professional musician, don't you know? He's very, very, very good. He's played with all the greats. He's played at the Royal Albert Hall. And we thank and salute you, Martin, for your dum-de-dum. I think, possibly, maybe, you won't ever hear that one again, folks. Though, I suppose if we do a show which is about the best dum-de-dums, it will definitely be on there. But anyway, yeah. If somebody would
and
like
Matthews
to see this
as well.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Well, there's been so many good ones, haven't there? There's been really some really good ones and some very inept ones. And I have a penchant for the inept ones, actually. The good ones
are
good.
I know,
I like
the ones where people walk in halfway through or someone's child starts crying or something like that. I quite like this.
There is something very cute about a child that can barely speak, let alone hum a tune, attempting Barwick Green.
Yes.
However, we have a full range.
It's the Jesuit approach. Get them young, isn't it, really?
Absolutely. There is something very... What we have here is the full range frequency of dum-de-dums. We have the cute, inept, the polished, the brilliant, the shitty. We have them all. And I revel in all of them. But if they're kind of like not so... polished, even better. Whatever. I don't know what I'm saying, other than to say that, Lucy, someone who'd like to send us in a dum-de-dum, how exactly can that be done?
If you would like to sing us a dum-de-dum or leave us a plot prediction, then call us on 0203 031 3105 or leave us a message on SpeakPipe. Now, quick announcement from Kerry Warbis and various other people in Brighton. Oh, yeah, Angela Barnes. Friend of the show, Angela Barnes. They are having a meetup in Brighton, 1 p.m. on the 12th of October at the Eagle Pub, Gloucester Road, Brighton. And would love to see you there. Get in touch with at Kerry Warbis on the Twitters or at Angela Barnes, and they will give you any more details should you need them. But I'm not really sure you do, because all you do is turn up at the Eagle Pub on Gloucester Road at 1 p.m. on Saturday the 12th of October, and I have it on good authority that there are name tags, because Kerry is thorough. Yes. Anyway, thanks to Cosmo for his podcast roundups, Shambridge for her brilliant voices, Mike Hatton for his character counts, and to Derek in the back bedroom. Derek was very annoyed on Jill's behalf about the scrap cake debacle. He said he'd be really hurt if anyone entered his gentleman's buttonhole unexpectedly.
Yay. Well done, you. Talking about meetups, right?
Yes.
Maddie in Ottawa has sent me an email. She sent this email to me on September the 11th. She would like to organise a meetup in Ottawa. And she's kind of got things somewhat kind of sorted. Now, I will actually be in Ottawa on dad duty, making sure that my son is actually studying, back end of October. I will actually be in Ottawa on Saturday, the 26th of October. So this is a question really from Maddie. Are there any dum-de-dummers in Ottawa? And if there are, why don't you send me an email at royfield@gmail.com. And basically, we can arrange a little mini meetup. Maddie would like to meet up. I will actually be there. So why the hell not? Maybe we can get one or two others. So if you can get to Ottawa, you're in the Ottawa region. It's October the 26th. But send me an email. And then if there's a couple of people that want to do it, then we will arrange the said meetup, folks. On this week's episode, we hear views from Andrew, Paul, Emily, Claire and Tony. But first, before all of that, sit down, brace yourself. It's our Loose and a Week in Ambridge.
Well, we began the week, pretty much anyway, with the vessel going into labour on Kirsty's rug. Poor Kirsty. Never has the phrase, no good turn goes unpunished, rung more true. All she did was offer Lexi a bit of cake, and before she knows where she is, she gets a load of ick all over her brand new rug, then has to drive a soggy Lexi and a fretting Ian around, and spends the entire night trotting alongside tight-lipped Jennifer as she marches crossly round an NHS hospital. court shoes clopping crossly on the floor, and an NHS hospital, mark you, that allows you half an hour free parking. What mythical land is this? Before being invited in to watch Lexi try not to strangle Ian, who reminded her of the importance of breathing, and a male midwife who describes the pain as stinging. Stinging. I had two cesareans, and even they did more than sting. The cup of tea afterwards did more than sting. Anyway, she had it, and there was a wailing from the baby and a gnashing of teeth from Jenny Darling, who is being utterly unbearable. Unable to cope with a situation which is beyond her experience, she has gone the Daily Mail reader route, which is it new? Did the Victorians do it? No? Well, then I don't like it. Plus, she called the poor baby Little Man, which should be a capital offence in my book. Adam and Ian called the baby Xander after Alexander Armstrong on Pointless, which seems entirely appropriate. Jennifer was hoping for something more classic, heroic and noble, like Brian, for instance. To take her mind off Kirsty's rug, there was an hilarious incident at the Flower and Produce show in which some cakes made of a pig's insides nearly won but didn't. Instead, Orville's vegan Lamingtons swept the board. Honestly, sometimes the plots are just like someone threw a Scrabble bag up in the air and made a storyline based on whatever letters they picked up first. We had a good lunch with Lillian. Blimey, she's got a type, hasn't she? Vince Casey, or rather Mince Casey, as Kerry Warbis christened him on the Twitters, so I'm totally nicking that with due accreditation. Lillian had a late lunch with Mince Casey at the Feathers, which resulted in her falling out of a cab onto the drive of the Dower House and the cab driving off with her shoes still in it. No idea what happened to her skirt and pants. Lillian stoutly claimed to Justin that not only had she not revealed his business secrets to Mince, she hadn't even dribbled. Lillian, quite frankly, we don't care if you flooded your basement. What we want to know is why you were having lunch with him in the first place, as he sounds utterly loathsome. I mean, Matt Crawford sounded like one of the regulars of the Winchester in Arthur Daly's time and had a certain suadey charm, but Mince just sounds like a lump of Birmingham gammon with big red hands and spittle-flecked lips. Ooh. I don't know what it is about Lillian, I really don't. She has this phenomenal ability to create jealousy triangles everywhere. I mean, it is possibly the way she treats men like lipsticks, and you have a good one at home, but you always need one in your bag in case you need a touch-up later on in the day. But we had Matt Crawford nearly lamping Justin, and now Justin and my mate Mince practically dueling on the clay pigeon range, and Mince doesn't even fancy her. Over at Honeysuckle Cottage, Adam and Ian were surprised to discover that no one had been to pick the baby up yet, so they were making the best of it. Are you going to give me a little burp then? Said Ian. No, I don't feel like it, said Adam. Meanwhile, at Ambridge Hall, the vessel was being consoled by Roy, as never one to let grass grow under his trainers. He'd hot-footed it over there as soon as he found out Lexi had a vacancy, so to speak. The vessel wasn't making much sense, but then immediately postpartum mothers rarely do, especially when they've been put in the boot of a Mercedes and driven home at high speed by Jenny Darling, who had one hand on the wheel and the other photoshopping Lexi out of all the pictures with little Alexandra Armstrong. I'd forgotten Rex was doing pigs. He is, though, you know. Pigs, taxi driving, and rewilding. You can't say young people in Ambridge don't have portfolio careers. So instead of hearing seasonal goose noises, we are now hearing the snuffles of Basil the impotent boar, who's suffering a midlife crisis and a bad back. Rex is adopting David's tactic and watching poor Basil's every movement in the hope that some of it will turn out to be piggy porking. So much so, he actually filmed poor Basil in the bath, eating hobnobs and crying. Rex then sent the film to Neil. God, it's a bloody porn ring. And things were still not happy over at Brooker's. While David is tiddling about the farm, fretting about a leather jacket, he doesn't seem to have noticed that the relationship between his daughter and wife has completely fallen apart. They keep ricocheting between spitting passive aggression and a sort of faux forgiveness, which seems to mean, it's all right, pet, until you do something else that reminds me of what you did before, and then I'll start being furious again. Pip does have all the ability of Boris Johnson in reading the temperature of the room, though, and every time Ruth has gone back to a low simmer, turns the gas up again by saying, oh, I do love rewilding, Mum. It's so much better than your scheme. And then watching with astonishment as the top of Ruth's head goes flying off. Just like Jennifer, Ruth, what Pip is doing is new and possibly not what you envisage the future being. But tough love, you had your go. Now give a bit of support and keep your trap shut or she'll be off. And you'll be left with David, his toy farm, and Leonard making cakes out of squirrel shit. And you'll never see Pip or Toby. Oh, hang on. There's always an upside, isn't there? The end.
Well done, you. You actually put some gags in it this week. Well done. Because the consensus was between me, myself, and I that last week was a little bit flat. So well done for the jokes in it this week. Right, what was
Don't
all
mock
that?
The afflicted. I listened to half of it with my head under the duvet, so I think I missed massive chunks. Anyway, no doubt I will realise what I haven't put in later on.
Me too. What was all what I was going to say was, what was all that nonsense with Jill and the Flower and Produce show? But just hold on that for a moment. You know what I'm realising is quite often I miss half of the first scene. Because
I sometimes do as well.
This is BBC Sounds. So you just hit 30 seconds forward. All right.
Yeah.
So, and then invariably it's halfway through a scene. And then when I go back and have a look at like the BBC's recaps and stuff, like to pull notes from, I'm like, hey, what? Hey,
yeah,
it's only taken me years to realize. Yeah, it's taken me a year to realize. I'm skipping 30 seconds forward, which generally gets through the theme tune, and this is BBC Sounds
and a bit of hello, you too. Yes,
exactly. That's what I'm missing. But anyway, right, Jill. So you're in good company. With missing bits was the whole point of that you know, meandering.
It was one of those weeks where you could quite cheerfully miss bits, though, I think.
Well, come on, we've had
deal of subtlety.
We've had a new character come into the fore. It's been a momentous week.
Yeah, but he won't say anything apart from yes, and for another 6 years, will he? And then he'll start speaking with, I don't know what accent they'll give him. Welsh, probably. We haven't got anybody Welsh. I know we have, but we've got Thingy Bob. Natasha, haven't we?
Yes.
What I want to know about the Flower and Produce show...
Yes.
...is Jill is 146 years old, yes?
No.
Who judged it before? Because she is a shoo-in to judge it. If she wasn't judging it, and it's taken them this long to get her to judge it, who the flaming Nora was judging all these classes before?
You know what, Lucy? That is a most excellent point, of which I don't have an answer for. Frieda Fry. Frieda Fry was judging it.
No, because she was. That's why it's the Frieda Fry Cup, because she won everything all the time.
I was joking. Right. I told you it's only 1 3/4 jokes that I give per episode. I don't know, Luce. I have absolutely no idea. But you know,
I did like the reverence with which she approached the task, and her, you know, because in her world that's huge, isn't it? Being asked,
yeah.
To judge
but for
it.
Me,
I
the whole thing was the whole thing was overplayed. It was a bit overplayed.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
It was just a little bit too much. Yes, Jill, be a little bit, you know. Nervy about the fact that your scrap cake recipe was in the show, but like, come on, it just went on way too much. And I'm a big Jill fan, you know. I'm like, give me more Jill. But that was too much Jill.
And I did like Peg. I tell you what, I really hope that, you know,
I don't.
What if
do
I could
know?
Have, if
Luce,
I,
what do I
sorry,
know?
If I could have the same comic timing as Piggy, the actress that plays Piggy, when I'm her age, my God, I mean, when she was doing that. Their business with Jill when she's trying to sort of, when Jill's going, oh, they look awful, don't they? Yes, they just look uncooked and everything. And she says, you do seem a bit overwrought, dear, and all that. I don't know. I just thought it was overdone, but I just thought her performance was ace.
Well, she's always perfect.
Yes, I thought that was absolute cobblers. And Jennifer, I mean, she's just gone mad. She's absolutely batshit.
Yeah, she has.
Because it's just kind of revealed her total insecurity, her total lack of ability to trust anybody.
I don't want to be fair to Jennifer because she was utterly horrible. The only thing I can say in her defense is that this is a somewhat unusual relationship. Circumstance.
Yeah.
You don't encounter it every day. And we know that Lexi is a good'un and she's going to give the baby up.
Yeah.
We know that, right? But she wouldn't be the first surrogate mother to go, you know what, I can't do this. She wouldn't be the first.
Yeah. No.
And again, just to repeat the point, not defending Jennifer because she's a proper cow. This is an unusual social circumstance of which the rules haven't really been written in terms of how you react and respond. Hence, everybody's going, bloody hell, who's the dad and who's this and who's that and whatever, blah, blah, blah. In 20 years' time, this thing will be sufficiently normal enough that everybody just shrug their shoulders and go, well, so what? You know, so
yeah,
have a modicum of understanding, purely just a modicum of understanding
well,
as to
I
why.
I understand it, but she's just being aggressive and unpleasant. She's not saying, the only person she said that she's worried to is Brian. But then she's just sort of gone steaming in and said, not just I am worried, but kind of I'm worried. Those boys don't realise what they're doing and I've got to rush in and save them. You know, this kind of really, I don't know, just overly aggressive. She's totally on the attack because she feels vulnerable. And it's just really unpleasant, really, really horrible to listen to. I hate it.
Well, there's a certain amount of... Well, we mentioned class way too much when we analyse the Archers. But she really does... We do, Liz.
That's all it's about, class. It's not about anything else. Bugger farming.
It's not about farming at all? Is it not about relationships through the generations as well? Is it not about handing on land? Is it not about custodianship?
No, it's class. Classy.
Right, smashing. But for me, class is written all the way through Jennifer's behaviour towards Lexi. She sees her as some undermensch, doesn't she? That she's not, you know, she's not worthy and, you know, and she's a bit shifty, et cetera, you know. So it's all rather horrible, but it's made for good drama. And it's turned Jennifer into this week's pantomime villain. So I think it's been great writing. And as I said, for the reasons which I gave before, not to excuse her, but it is an unusual circumstance. In effect, there are three parents and she's just trying to protect her son in the way that she sees fit. And it's all wrapped up in a big ball of I is posh, you are not, you are foreign, get back to your foreign country. I don't trust you, you know, with a big bow on it. So, yeah, but great writing. You know what? I'm slightly worried, though. Because three times a year, Lucy, you do dum-de-dum with a dicky chest. You really do. So I'm worried.
About what?
Your nana.
Oh, no. This is the first one of these I've had this year, and it's October.
It's not, you know. There was a dum-de-dum this year that I was editing, and I edited out as many of your coughs as possible, and people were sending in remedies for you. Do you not remember? Round about April time.
Oh, yes, I do. Oh, yeah. Okay, so it's the second time then. There we go.
And then it went on for about 3 weeks.
It's just my entire family is just riddled with, on both sides, riddled. With if we were Russian, we'd be called the Chestikovs. So, yes. Lucy Chestikov. So, yeah. It's just a thing that I get, and it's really annoying, but there we are. Lots of other people get headaches all the time, and I never get headaches, so that's all right.
Shall we crack on with the calls? Because we actually have some this week, which was a pleasant surprise after last week.
Yes.
And I
have a message for you from Keith Bozistow, who said... He says it's an old Cornish surname, by the way. I probably pronounced it wrong, so I apologise, Keith, in advance.
So wait a minute. We're doing emails before we even do the calls.
Because it's not about the show. It's about you.
Me personally? Or it's about opera?
Yes.
Well, it's about the show then. Really? Is it not about opera?
Listen. If you stop talking, you can find out. Honestly, this is what I have to say to the children. Just a few words of support for Royfield. We Yay. Love your comments on life and agree that today's senior citizens get out doing things that our parents would not think of doing. We still climb mountains and go canoeing at 74, but at a much slower pace than previously. I bet you're still faster than me. I am almost a fellow Brummie, brought up in Walsall, just down the road in the Black Country, and knew Birmingham like the back of my hand when I worked in Electric Avenue, but now have difficulty finding my way around. We love your podcast. Keep up the good work. Keith, see? It's nice.
Oh, thank you.
I thought you'd like that after all your criticism last week.
Mm-hmm. Well, Keith actually heard and digested what I had to say. Denise Tomlinson did not. I don't know why I like her.
Comment.
I don't know why I like her.
Why she likes you.
Denise Tomlinson from Twitter, catching up with Dum-de-Dum and Royfield commenting on people over 60, approaching my 64th birthday in a few weeks, and I'm giving Royfield one of my looks. Right. Now, that had 21 bloody likes. Right. So there's a whole load of other people, unlike my good friend from Warsaw, that obviously just heard the first bit of what I said and went, umbrage, you know.
We hate him.
Humbug.
Hit him with sticks. Yes.
Yeah. You know, they're too busy harumphing whilst I was going on to say, isn't it wonderful that the older members of society are much more active than they were a generation or two ago? Anyway, Dusty, and then Andrew Horn, Wade in, Ben Johnson, all the other bleeders and whatever. I love you dearly.
You can't call them bleeders. That's rude.
I can. That's rather polite. And of course, then Witherspoon, Michelle. And there's a rather funny thread which then developed from there, which had nothing much to do with me. But anyway, and then Cosmo. And then all the other people that then joined in. But anyway, let's have a little bit of this, Lucy, because otherwise this show is going to go on forever.
Average 3962.
Right, now this call is, I think, somewhat slightly out of sequence because he didn't quite send it before we recorded last week, but it's our Tony Cox.
Hello there, it's Tony. I call in now and again. I just want to say what a nice week it was on the Archer. Bit of this, bit of that, and a lot of reported incidents, i.e. two characters saying what other characters had done off the mic. Must save a lot of money. Also, I've done a correlation between Kerry Davis and his writing because he always has recipes on his stuff. And it's interesting because he's just done a book on recipes in the Archers. Anyway, I think you're doing a lovely job. And, I look forward to next week. Bye for now.
Oh, thank you, Tony. Bye. Did I tell you I went to school with a Tony Cox?
Did you?
He was really good at football. No, it's not him. Really good at football. It was a tricky winger. He had a bowl cut, he's blonde haired and he had a bowl cut and he was super fast. And his mum was the dinner lady at school, Tony Cox, at Greenholme School, circa 1974 to 1980. Good chap was our Tony. Good chap. Right, there's Tony Cox. And now it's a little bit of our Claire. She's bonkers, this woman, by the way. I'll tell you why after.
Hi, Dumpty Dum. It's Claire from Cobham here. I'm really looking forward to the 9th of November. I have my bunting ready and I'm looking forward to meeting all the other caller-inners as well, which would be great. I wanted to say something this week about Jennifer, who, let's all agree, was awful, just dreadful. But I think one of the joys of the Archers is how, because it's such long form medium, that we understand people over a long period of time. And I guess, you know, I'm still a comparatively newcomer to the Archers. I've only been listening like, 18 years or something, which is, nothing. But the Jennifer is, she was clearly bright and clever and promising, but she never really realised a lot of those sort of ambitions, hence you see why she's so excited about Phoebe going to Oxford and so on. And she has transferred all of that into her children. She started comparatively young, one assumes, and all of her the kind of focus has been about building her life around her children. And so I think there's a part of her who just cannot comprehend Lexi giving up her baby. And that's one of the reasons why she's so nervous. She has invested her whole sense of purpose in children and grandchildren. And I think that's what's playing on her mind. And I understand why. But, you know, it's no excuse to be so awful, frankly, but there you go. Plus, I was really pleased to see that Roy is just being a good support to Lexi. Like to see them get back together. So keep up the good work, and I'll see you soon. Bye.
Oh, ta-ra, Claire. Looking forward to seeing you in Brum. She sent me a picture, Lucy. You know, this bunting, you know, she's making this bunting.
She's making it.
Making bunting. And
Lord.
Cutting out all the letters that spell out dum-de-dum and putting them on the bunting. So it's blue and yellow bunting. It's rather spectacular. She sent me a WhatsApp picture. She said, oh, I've just been busy with the sewing machine. Been doing this. I'm like, woman, you're not right. You're not right in the head. You know, she's so lovely. What a lovely human being.
That sounds amazing.
Way beyond. Yeah. But I love the fact that these traditions are now evolving out of the meetups. So remember, it was our boy in the States that brought along bunting.
Yeah.
And then people started signing it to say that they'd attended a dum-de-dum meetup. Just utterly lovely. Aww. And then there's Claire now making
bunting.
It's
amazing.
Yeah. What have we done to deserve this, Lucy?
I have to completely... I don't know. I really don't. It's so lovely. Claire, I completely agree with you on both points. I know that it's coming from a place of fear with Jennifer, but I just can't get over how vile she is. But anyway, you're a nicer person than me. and it was Roy behaved really well, I thought. And he just intervened very gently and just sort of suggested to Adam and Ian that maybe they didn't need to leave Lexi alone, you know, that she would like to see them and everything. And then there was no kind of, ha-ha, I did that, or trying to capitalise on it afterwards. He just sort of got on with it and it was fine. And yes, I was very, very approving of Roy, and I also hope they get back together again.
I don't. Stupid relationship.
Can we do an email quickly about
No, because I want to explain my thoughts and feelings about Roy and Lexi.
Oh, sorry.
I felt their relationship was somewhat shoehorned and forced last year, just to add the tension of her then going through the surrogacy, which is another storyline which I don't believe in. She wouldn't have done it, but whatever. The script writers have deigned it thus, but their relationship made little and no sense. It didn't make any sense. And this is just...
Why didn't it?
Oh, it just didn't. The dynamic didn't. And...
I think did, actually.
You know, you never said so at the time. There is something
didn't
about...
I? You can't remember.
I can remember. You can't even remember that you had a dicky chest back in April. And you had it for 3 weeks and people were sending you in cold remedies. So what can you remember?
All right, then. Let's not have a domestic in front of the boys and girls at home.
You know what? This is the reason why they pay their Patreon money. They want stuff like this, Lucy. They want the cut and thrust.
Bickering.
A bit of
podcast
bants.
Podcast bickering is what they
it's
want.
It's a bit of bants. I suppose there is something about Roy as a character which... For me, he's just too square. And I don't get any real emotional heft, depth, breadth, whatever the adjective is with him. I don't. I don't really understand what his character is there to do. I don't understand. And maybe the fault's within me. So
I think that kind of... I think that kind of started, though, when he was... Did the racist attack on... Usha when he was much, 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 much younger. And that's kind of like the one, you know, horrible, obviously, but interesting thing he's done.
Oh, no, he's done two. He shagged Lizzie as well, remember?
Elizabeth. Yeah, but he kind of got stuck there. They haven't been able, they haven't sort of fleshed him out any more than that. But we don't know what we haven't been told what Lex's previous partner, the father of her children, was like. So if he was, you know, very, very, you know, sort of loud or boisterous or unpleasant or whatever, then I suppose Roy would come as quite soothing.
Mm. Well, considering that we had his pops having to leave, it was a much more considered and complex character than to leave Roy behind. You know, it's just, we've been shortchanged. You know, the wrong Tucker left, basically.
Yeah.
But he is a good guy. So the fact that he had that empathy with Lexi and he could help in that situation is kind of great. Talking about racism, and I don't want to spend too much time on this. Give me your thoughts and feelings on Justin Trudeau, just in 1 minute. So I'm not going to have an opera type 15-minute
discourse.
We were
talking about this over the weekend. I could do it in three words. What a dick. There you go. Easy peasy. To think in this day and age that I know everyone said, oh, he was a long time ago, he was very young. You know, Prince Harry thought it was okay at that age to dress up like a flipping Nazi and it didn't cross his mind it might be a bad idea. It's, you know, there's just no excuse. It's like, what the hell were you thinking? I don't know. Just, yeah, that. What the hell were you thinking?
All right.
That's my thoughts.
If there's no, right. So then how do we treat Justin Trudeau?
Like somebody who's doing a very good impression of somebody who we trusted but actually can't because he doesn't think things through properly.
So do you not think that by the sheer weight of evidence that his conduct in the preceding 19 years that he is somebody who actually you can trust and that basically he's a human being who made a mistake and can be forgiven for that? Or are we saying there's somebody
crosses... he can be forgiven, but just...
You just said we can't trust him.
He can be forgiven and...
You just said we can't trust him.
No, we can't trust
him.
We can forgive him, but it would make me... Yeah, no, that's if you let me finish.
Ooh.
I'm not saying we can trust him, but... We can forgive him, but it makes me think twice about trusting him. Because I don't think... I think he proved then that his judgment was extremely ropey.
Mm. Well, it's one of the reasons why I slightly despair of Twitter and I slightly, and as a wider point, slightly despair.
The lynch mob.
Yeah, because...
Yeah.
As crimes go, and some people won't thank me for this, but as crimes go, this is not the biggest crime in the world. It's a crime, right? And yeah. in the real world, there are degrees of criminality. There are, right? Somebody dressing up in blackface is nothing to be lauded and is nothing to be taken lightly, but it's not the worst crime in the world. And
no,
we have to also put it in context, right? So this is where we're on another sliding scale. Somebody dressing up in blackface in 1800 is one thing. Somebody doing it in 1900 is slightly another. Somebody doing it in 1980 is another. Somebody doing it in, what was it, 1999? He did it in 2000. It is another. Okay. It's not as if he was doing it today. It was still bad to do it back then, but not as bad as doing it yesterday. I can remember watching the Black and White Minstrel Show circa 1975, 76, hated it. And I didn't hate it because I thought it denigrated people like me. I just thought it was a crap program. I didn't understand it. But it was on TV. It was the weirdest thing, the Black and White Minstrel Show. It would be showed on the BBC because the songs they were doing weren't even British songs. They were doing these Southern American songs.
Yeah.
And it was just odd.
Yeah.
In 1975, 76, 77, when that show was on, because I remember it, nobody said, oh, we've got to take this off because it's denigration of black people. We're stereotyping all black people, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, the BBC had it on in the 1970s. So we have to really be careful. There is a sliding scale with this. Was I shocked and surprised that Justin Trudeau was in blackface in 1999, circa 2000? Yeah. But you know what? we've all done absolutely stupid things. And did he just, was it just a slight slip? No, he had to black himself up, not once, not twice, but three times and stuff.
Yeah, head it must
to
have
toe.
Taken
head
hours.
To toe, head to toe. But
yeah,
Christ, right? I am not ideologically pure. I have done stupid things, said things which I didn't realise were, you know, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, I was cracking on to you about you getting your BAPS out, and not one, not two, but a few people said, Royfield, that was sexist. Now, I would have thought that the fact that we have a somewhat of a knockabout relationship, that people would put that within, put that in within that context to say that we're having a laugh. However, so there is a wider context to all of this. There is how you kind of come at it. But I just look at this and I say, Jesus fucking Christ, right? This man has had more people of colour in his cabinet than any other Canadian MP. This man is going out of his way, right, to be woker than woke, to the point of parody, I will admit, right? But it's like, come on, right? We just want to rip everybody down. Did he go off and murder somebody? No. He dressed up in blackface. Is it the right and proper thing to do? Absolutely not. But it's not the worst effing crime in the world. The man has apologised, right? Was he stupid? Yes, right? But we're all bloody human beings. And I just look at this and I say, Jesus Christ, all those people who are ideologically pure bore me. They're not human beings. All those people that cast
but
and
also,
throw
I
stones.
Think...
Go on.
I think the reason I'm not on Twitter very much at the moment is because it just seems to be a total echo chamber of fury, and it's only getting worse. And I think one of the reasons why it's getting worse is linked to what you're talking about, which is people are just feeling so impotent at the actual illegalities that are happening everywhere. They're happening in the States with the government. They're happening with the UK with the government. There is lying and cheating and manipulation and bullying. You know, the Harvey Weinstein stuff, the Kavanaugh stuff, there's shed loads of things. And we all know it's happening. And it doesn't feel as if a great deal is being done to address it, certainly not at government level, you know, Weinstein and Kavanaugh maybe. But, you know, and I think people are just on a sort of a low simmer of fury the whole time. So whenever anything else happens, it just sets everybody off again. And everyone's like, someone's got to do something about something. So you just get this sort of Twitter lynch mob where everybody's rushing around saying, as we were saying earlier, you know, hit them with sticks, because it's just the only thing we can do, because there is so much happening on such a blatant level and everybody knows it's happening and no one's doing anything.
But we have
and
to
I
be
think
careful.
That's where that frustration is coming from. And that level of frustration is what's creating this sort of virtuous circle of hatred, of you know, overreaction, and you know, everybody has committed a heinous crime. There's no grey area.
We have to be careful though that we don't lump Justin Trudeau in with Donald Trump, and that's what these
but
ideologically
that's the
pure.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Absolutely.
That's,
and when
that's
it comes
exactly
down to
what's
it,
happening. You've not because we can't do anything about the massive things, about the fact that they've got, you know, America has a president that, in my view, has some serious questions to answer and is successfully completely avoiding having to answer them. You know, it just feels like everybody is on the fiddle, is a shit, is disingenuous, is da 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 da. So that, you know, there are no good guys anymore. So everyone just wants to attack everybody that makes the slightest kind of although that beyond that, what he did was way beyond slight. But anyway.
Yeah,
I mean, in the year 2000, I'm sorry, but that's incredible.
No, listen, there is no escaping the fact that in that context, that time, it's bad. But there are worse crimes, though. That's the thing. It's bad, right? Yeah. However, his records...
Yeah, but there are worse crimes, and we're seeing them happening, and no one's doing anything about them.
Well, I think your point about impotence is a fair one, but Jesus Christ, you know, people on the left say that they believe in giving people a second chance, redemption, etc., etc., and especially to do with people who have had the wrong end of the stick in the justice system. You know, that people who are poorer, darker, etc., disproportionately have longer sentences, whether it's the United States, whether it's the United Kingdom, and I'm sure this happens everywhere else in the developed world, right? If you are poorer and if your skin is darker, disproportionately you get a worse sentence and stuff. And we say people should be given a second chance, etc., etc. There are extenuating reasons for the reasons why that they committed these crimes, etc., etc. But then also, We've also got to be honest and say, you know what, right? We're all bloody human beings. We've all done stupid things. Let's look at this person's character in the whole, and let's look at their record subsequently. People can atone. People can admit that they've made mistakes. And actually, we need to just bloody well accept that, you know. And I just, anyway, moving swiftly on. Back to Dumby Dump, because that was a party political broadcast by the Royfield Party. And really, that should have been a part of Mid-Atlantic. Oh, my goodness. This week's Mid-Atlantic, Lucy, just very quickly, utterly wonderful.
Yeah.
Emma Burnell, the Labour Party activist and Guardian journo, joined me on Mid-Atlantic with Karen Robinson, who's a Royfield in reverse. So she's gone from America to be living in London. She is so good, so clever. Looked at the Supreme Court justice verdict and also Trump's impending impeachment. Level of detail, brilliant. And also we talked about the opera, because that was just the theme of my last week, the opera. Anyway, Tony Cox, Clapham, Clapham. Ah, now it's Emily. Back onto Dumby Dum Matters. And the audio is a little bit choppy at the start. Nothing I could do about it. It just is the way that it is. Bear with us for 20 seconds, then it fixes itself.
Hello, Dumby Dummers. Emily here. Phoned in a couple of times before. Just wanted to talk about the first one, Jennifer. I actually found it really upsetting hearing her being involved so actively with the delivery part. I know she wasn't in the room, but the delivery of the baby, because yes, you're supposed to be surrounded by calm, kind, reassuring people. And just even knowing that she was in the waiting room, I don't think I could have had her there and been able to give birth. She's so selfish, such a horrible, horrible side of her character, and it's just really upset me, and I feel really sorry for Lexi having this lady. Oh yes, don't like her in this bit. The other thing I wanted to talk about was the scene between Ian and Will when they met on the green with the baby, and Ian reassuring Will sort of saying to Will how great a job he's doing. I didn't buy this as a conversation. Have they ever had any interaction before, really? And I just felt like it was overplayed. You know, Ian, you're doing so well, and Poppy's so lucky to have you. It just didn't sit well, and I just a bit clunky and a bit forced to find anyone who can intervene with Will so he doesn't go back to work. So maybe I'm being unkind, but that was some of my thoughts there. That's about it from me. Thank goodness Lillian wasn't going with Vince Casey in a romantic setting, because I actually don't think I could have coped with another sort of love triangle moment with her and Justin and him and yes. So that's it. Thank you so much. I love the podcast. I get so excited when it comes out. It keeps me company. And I'm not going to make Dumb to Dumb live, unfortunately, but I'm really looking forward to hearing it. And yes, bye.
Oh, and ended up with some funny audio. Lillian and Vince.
Yes, Mince. I was also very relieved that it was not a romantic thing. I couldn't see what was the point. I mean, I know she was a bit hacked off with Justin, but he just sounds so unappealing, Mince Casey. I just can't see why he why anybody would want to spend any time with him. I mean, I know he's rich and she does tend to sort of she's just attracted to money, basically. I'm very, very glad there's nothing romantic going on there. I did like the golfing scene very much. Not the golfing scene, the shooting scene, where he kept shouting, "Paul!" And then Justin would, "Oh, for goodness sake!" and get very, very uppity. That was good. why does Eddie keep sort of... Eddie talks about Mince Casey as if he's some sort of... godfather of the abattoir. So I'm not sure whether, because, you know, that, but we've done all that with Matt. We don't need to go back there again with Lillian and. And also, yes, I thought the William bit was ridiculous. And they have done what they did with, I don't know why they only reserve it for the Grundys, seemingly, you know. Ed recovered from a crack addiction in 3 weeks. William has one chat with Ian on the green. And, all, you know, Ian, who, you know, he's always been a bit iffy about anywhere because he's not that keen on the gayers, is he, Will? He got a bit uppity about, you know, when he gets funny about women being on the cricket team and everything. I can't really see him being overly liberal. But, you know, apparently just one chat with Ian on the green and that was enough to make him give up his job and think differently about his children and review his depression and blah, 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 blah. So, you know, well done, Ian, but flaming Nora. Let's not try and dust everything up with the dustpan and brush in 10 minutes. Life is not like that. And they've done, and they've, you know, we know they can do long haul. They did long haul with Helen and Rob. So don't be afraid to do long haul when it's a bad storyline. We don't all want... you know, nice, easy storylines done and dusted, whoosh, when it just makes it a bit ridiculous, especially when it's a storyline that really matters to a lot of people. Has resonance for a lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of people indeed. The doyen of the lefties and of liberals, James O'Brien, tweeted as such, didn't he? That the Will Grundy storyline was moving. Did you see that tweet?
Did he?
Yeah.
No, because I don't go on the Twitter as much.
But when you do, you go on with such aplomb, though, Lucy. You is proper
aplomb.
Funny.
Oh, we've had an email from Jennifer Corley, by the way, about Adam and Ian. She said, because this chimes with what Emily was saying, Jenny Darling's behaviour during the birth and Adam and Ian's was so out of order that I've decided suitable karmic punishment might include one of Lexi's girls to come and visit, meet Rory and marry him. A short trip into a slurry tank for her would also be nice. The whole storyline has been so bad and so badly written, it's brought me from fluffy, woolly, rainbow liberal to frothing at the mouth over two gay men taking such advantage of a woman. I'm practically a right-wing anti-surrogate after listening to that, and that's from someone deeply involved in the donor conception third-party reproduction world. Probably the last result it was meant to achieve. One other short note, could people please think a little before making statements like, oh, well, if they used an egg donor, Lexi's not the real mother, on the Twitters. Lots of women become mothers through egg donation, and they are physically and legally the mothers. This is a sensitive storyline for many people, so go easy, lads. There are now two donor-conceived children in Ambridge. High time a scriptwriter contacted the Donor Conception Network for some advice on their stories. There was a little bit of that, actually, when Lexi was saying to Ian, she was talking about, extreme babysitting, which is talking about surrogates describing themselves as extreme babysitters. And Lexi was saying, well, if I had enough time, I would educate everybody about the role of this midwife, the role of the surrogate. People get it very wrong. And I thought, I wonder if we're now going to have a small... a small public information briefing from the surrogate alliance or whatever it is. So yes, she did sort of think about that, but I think it is creating some interesting questions for people. you know, making you think about, well, what is a parent? What is, what point does Lexi, is at what point is she always the mother? Do they, you know, I'm going to spend some time with some friends later on. So I will be missing two Dumpty Dums, I'm sorry, later on this month. And they live in LA. And they are a gay couple with a little girl. And it's very, there's sort of, it's raised a lot of, you know, I've been thinking about them, listening to this storyline, I've been thinking about them and how it sort of worked out for them and everything. And yes, it's been very interesting for those of us that sort of don't know anything about it, I think.
Mm. I have a very good friend of mine. She's just had, on Valentine's Day, actually, she gave birth to a baby, and the egg was donated. Egg was donated. And because we are close, it's really been interesting for me to view her journey into motherhood. And the irony is for her that she's a professional midwife and is now, I'm going to get this slightly wrong, I'm going to call her a professor of midwifery, but she's done her MA and a whatever and blah, blah, blah. So she's not delivering babies anymore. But for years she was delivering babies and couldn't conceive. And didn't realize that, you know, that she had a problem. There she was delivering hundreds, thousands of babies type of thing. Anyway, the want to have a child and to hold that child within you for 9 months with for her was just so strong. She didn't just want to adopt. And one of the conundrums now is, and I can say this because she doesn't listen to Dumpty Dum. Her mum is a big Archers fan, but her mum couldn't understand Dumpty Dum. She says, but it's not the Archers, though, when she listened to it once. Yeah.
Good point, missus. It isn't. You're right. But anyway, carry on.
I think she thought it was going to be like Ambridge Extra or something. Anyway.
Ah, yes.
The need and the want to be a parent, whether it is to have the child grow within you or just to be a father, is just kind of so overwhelming that I think as parents, as adults, we kind of get it. Again, to give Jennifer Aldridge her slight due, is that I think we don't quite put enough store by parents trying to look after their offspring as they become new parents and the role of grandparents. And some grandparents are much more hands-on and emotionally involved than others. Others, it's almost like an abstract thing. And obviously for Jennifer, kind of it isn't. So I'm not excusing her behavior at all in last week's Archers, but wanting to protect her own, biologically her own member of her family, the newborn child, her son, is kind of understandable if we understand that being a parent, wanting to give life, wanting to nurture, isn't necessarily something you do with your head. It's something that you do from gut biological instinct and from very much an emotional perspective. And as I say, and it's just so interesting to see somebody who I care for a lot go through the tribulations to become a mother. And she is very touchy about certain things. She loves it when people say she looks like her, because she deliberately chose from the characteristics. Obviously, she didn't see the picture. Well, there's no obvious about it, but she didn't see the picture of the egg donor. But it was somebody with dark hair, olive skin, etc., brown eyes. So she loves it when people say, oh, she looks just like you, because most people don't know that she was a donated egg, you know. So
yeah.
It's all a tricky and a very fraught and emotionally confusing.
Well, it's a whole new world we're all going to have to get used to, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. True that, Mrs.
Including right. Jennifer.
Well, yeah, indeed. So, Claire from Clapham, Emily with a funny bit of audio. Oh, you know, everyone's been giving it to me in the neck.
Sorry, I'm going to start sneezing in a minute. Yes.
Right.
Everyone's always giving it to you in the neck.
Yeah, exactly. Here's Paul room to pile on, but then he does a 180.
Hello, you two. I'm calling in just to have a pop at Whipping Boy Royfield, who said that I only called in the other day because I heard my voice on the compilation episode he did. And that's perfectly true, actually. He called me out there because, yes, I heard that and thought, who's that idiot? I can do better than that. Realised it was me. Anyway, yeah, I just wanted to ask a question. I'm sure you've both read 400-page documents that came with the Ambridge Conservation Trust proposals. I just don't understand the finances behind it. As in, do the winners make any money out of it? Because how does it work? There's this 500,000, everyone's eyes seem to light up. Pip now is going to send Rosie to a nursery, which is going to cost money so she can work more on the trust. But do they actually make an income from it, or is the 500,000 just to plant trees and do the rewilding or whatever? Because otherwise everyone seems to be very philanthropic if they're just working for free. Very hard, it seems, and it's going to take a lot of effort. Mm. Or can they claim an income from it? I just do not understand that. I would be extremely grateful if you could explain that to me. Thank you very much. Bye.
Mm.
Paul, it is so unlikely that we would be able to explain that to you.
But I think we can surmise thus. Peggy is a businesswoman, at least was a businesswoman. And the £500,000 is for you to set up your scheme, as opposed to necessarily business. But she is presuming that schemes will then potentially turn a profit. So that's the way that I understood it. Though Eddie did think you were given £1,000,000 as some kind of prize, so to speak. So
yes.
There was some kind of ambiguity, confusion at the start, but you have £500,000 to set up your scheme is the way that I see it. And I don't know how you make money at a rewilding, but then again, I'm not a farmer. I know nothing about the land. So that's that, but I believe you can.
Well, I don't believe you can, but... I think Cosmo wrote something about this ludicrous scheme and how the money aspect works. So no doubt he will hear this and roll his eyes and come to the rescue again and tell us.
Well done, Cosmo. And well done for your start of the season, Mr. Room. And Derby County beat Birmingham City 3-2 at the weekend. We were 2-0 down, Lucy. Came back to 2-2 and they come and beat us 3-2. Just before full time. Now is Andrew Horn.
Greetings, Earthlings. It's Andrew Horn here. I'm ringing, as some people predicted, about the opera comments last week. Lucy, this time it's you that's in the wrong, not Royfield. In that Covent Garden Opera House does have Sir titles for everything. And E&O, even though they sing in language at the Colosseum, also has Sir titles for most productions. And I like it this way, even for English. Dress code. Royfield, when you come to the opera with me, you're welcome in your jeans, which is what I usually wear. There is no fuss. People can dress up, but it's a very welcoming, inclusive audience at the opera. And the water is free at both Colosseum and Covent Garden. On the bar, you can go and help yourself to free water, so no $10 a bottle. Yes, I think... The acting used to be very poor, and I think you probably suffered from having a stand-in. Generally these days, opera singers are actors as well, and they do look the part. So that has been addressed by and large. I think you were unlucky. And Gounod's Romeo and Juliet as a first opera. Wow, that was a bit of a stretch. Let me recommend you some other things. Or when you're coming to London, we'll see if we can find something to go and see together. Opera is as cheap as going to a football match, or cheaper than most pop concerts I've been to. So can we please stop making it out that opera is elitist? Because really, it isn't. That's all I'm going to say. Speak to you soon and see you all in Birmingham. Bye.
Bye. Oh,
he knows his stuff,
so
doesn't he?
That told you and me. He does.
Well, I think it more told you than me.
Yes.
I'm just saying that because I need some of the heat lifted from me. I was chatting to a listener yesterday, just having a little text chat. We're DMing on the Flick app, and they were just saying, this is just a wonderful place full of nice people. Thank you. And for me, Andrew Horn kind of just exemplifies that it ain't come on, you know, shouting the odds, fag off, opera's fucking awesome. Wow. And it's very calmly, well, rationally.
That would
went
be a slightly
the points.
Incongruous if he had done, but anyway.
It wouldn't be very Horn-like, and it wouldn't be very dum-de-dum listener-like.
They don't generally start by going, fuck off!
Well, however, you know, slightly posh people, you know, take umbrage. You know, he didn't, you know, and...
No.
And it's just, we just have such a lovely community of listeners who...
I know.
For the most part, you know, are quite reasoned... Apart from when it comes to anything that I've said, then all of a sudden, you know, bricks get thrown. but like, Andrew, nothing would give me greater pleasure than to join you at the opera in November or December when I'm back in the UK for a month or so. Suffice to say, though, I do want to dress up to go to the opera because I like dressing up. So why not? I've got the knees for it. Why not?
Yeah.
So you tell me, sir, back end of November, what's on and what will be good, and I'll give it another go. As I did say earlier on in the show, I did talk. Yeah, go on. Go on.
No, I was going to say, if any listeners are in LA and would like to meet up the week beginning October the 12th, then hit me up on the Twitters. And if anybody is in Jersey the week after, then
Jersey?
Again.
Bloody hell.
Give me a message. Bloody yes.
Hell. Oh, all right, mm-hmm. Then. If we're going to do that, then.
I'm getting about, you know.
I'm going to be in Boston next weekend. Yes, anybody wants to hit me up in Boston?
They might just want to hit you in Boston. That's different.
Yeah, more likely to be the case. Right, so that's Andrew Horn. That's opera. It's not elitist, and it's a thing for the people. I don't suppose we've got any emails left, have we, Lucy? Because you led in with emails.
I did. I'm sorry. I've upset the natural order of things. So yes, we mm-hmm. don't have any now.
Great. All right, then. So why don't we do this? Let's pay some bills by having an ad break if you're in a bit of the world where English is at. English is like the lingua franca. Then you'll probably hear an ad. And if you aren't, you won't.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Good day, everyone. Well, before we knew the name of the baby, I invited everyone to suggest who might be the most annoying and self-centered character of the week. Now, in my head, that was so clearly Jennifer, and that was just as she was gearing up to get worse. And guess what? Only two people agreed with me. So thank you to Vic and Joanna Boyd for that, and Judith Lawrence. And I was so surprised, but you found a whole heap of other characters who were just as annoying. So I take it back. We also put up a link to show The Archer's Year of Food and Farming by Kerry Davies. That looks like a great book. So if anybody wants to buy me a Christmas present, just let me know, because I'm pretty sure it's not going to be available in Australia. Now I think of it, I'm going to Scotland for Christmas, so maybe I will be able to get it. But for those of you who'd like to buy an early Christmas present, there you have it. It must be in all good bookshops now. We also talked about that testosterone-laden episode where Vince and Justin were really kind of, I don't know, chesting it out. We wondered who had the most testosterone, because it clearly wasn't going to be the boar. And Jan A. Mitchell said, I hope Lillian wins this argument, and Justin should be ashamed of himself. As for Vince, scary. I never thought, Mike McNamara said, I never thought I'd use the phrase low rent Matt Crawford, but Vince inspired it. John Kelston Merritt loved hearing Vince niggling Justin to extremely nasty individuals, and he well upset Lillian, not a good idea. John O'Crow said, will Justin decide to keep the property as an avatar just to compete with Vince? Oh, what an interesting thought. And Leslie Greaves said what I wanted to say, which is there is no reason on earth why Justin wouldn't just tell David his plans. It is silly. I agree with that. It doesn't make any sense, does it? Was driving me crazy this week, to be honest. And we then, of course, had to discuss the name Alexander. Did we like it? And also we asked, is Jenny right to be concerned? Marion Barton said, lovely name, and I was just thinking that would be a good one. Rather than making it even harder for Lexi, I think the name will have made it easier. By naming him after her, Adam and Ian have demonstrated their commitment to involving her as a close friend of the family always, and shown her how much they appreciate her. If they did as Jennifer seems to be suggesting and isolated her, then Lexi would be on track for a breakdown, especially as the post-labour hormones are kicking in now and she'll be feeling incredibly vulnerable. Once the paperwork is in order, hopefully Jenny will calm down, preferably before she does something unforgivable to the woman who gave her a grandchild. Beautifully said, Marion. Alex Lucas said, personally, I don't really like the name. Never have done. It's too long with too many diminutives. My parents pronounce it Alec, but spell it Alex after my Scottish great uncle. Everyone else says it with an X as it's spelt. When I lived in Edinburgh, people would get the XC thing right and also call me Sandy or Egg. Some people call me Al. The current Mrs. L calls me Alexander when I'm in deep doo-doo. And this Zander business is a load of pretentious bollocks. I don't get to say that word very often in Australia, so thank you very much for that, Alex Luca. And Zoe Picton said, I was very moved by it. As some Dumpty Dummers will know, my beautiful little boy died from sepsis. His name was Adam and his second name was Alexander. He enjoyed The Archer, so Adam having a son called Alexander in real life is sort of magical to me. Oh, that's so lovely, Zoe. Thank you for sharing that. And I will leave Pip Duval to finish off. She says, it's a nice touch and a tribute to Lexi. I think Jennifer isn't wrong to worry, but she's going over the top, as she often does. Alexander was my boy's name choice, but my firstborn was a girl, and due to a lack of imagination, she became Alexandra, or Lexi for short. Excellent. So we had another great week on Facebook. We now have 2,475 people who are on that page who could discuss any of those topics with us. So another 25, and we're shooting up by about 5 to 10 a week, so it won't be long. So that's us for this week. I will leave you in the capable hands of Yokel Bear for next week. And Witherspoon, if you are listening, I hope you are still enjoying your Italian holiday. Love seeing all the photographs. I've really enjoyed it. So keep those coming, and I hope you're having a great break. So until I speak to you again in a fortnight, hooroo.
Ooh. Do you want to know some breaking news, Lucy?
Yes.
Right, lots of breaking news. Next week and the week afterwards, Dum-de-Dum will be hosted by Rob Art and Angela Barnes. The dynamic duo, right again. They've emailed me since we've been recording.
It's not next week, is it?
Oh.
It's not next week.
All right, then. 2 weeks hence.
It's the 12th
Whenever you said. Yeah. Whenever you said.
Yes.
Right, you are right.
Yes.
All right, so that's that. Thank you for correcting me.
Thank you, chaps. Right. You're very kind.
And Julia Herbie has just bought a ticket for dinner at the Picture and Piano the weekend of Dum-de-Dum. We've had tickets bought for Birmingham Live. It was really the point of that before I went down a rabbit hole. I thought out loud, folks, and suffice to say, you go, what the hell is he talking about? Because he didn't think out loud, because I would have edited it. But I'll leave that bit in just so you realise there are bits which you didn't hear. So Birmingham, Dum-de-Dum. Yeah, I'm talking, Lucy. You can giggle.
Yeah.
Giggle.
Hello.
You can giggle. You can Twitter. You got to buy your tickets, folks, for Birmingham Live, Dum-de-Dum. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have an award ceremony. Have you come up with any questions, Lucy?
No, I'm sorry. It's on my list. When I
say questions, I meant awards. But yes, our Lucy has been poorly sick, she has somewhat of an excuse. But there are going to be awards handed out to the great and the good to do with the thing that we love most of all, the Archers. And there's going to be a couple of award categories for you, the listeners, as well. So come in your best bib and tucker, which means a Dum-de-Dum attire if you have it. Dinner jacket, party dress, cocktail dress, and then Wellington boots for the award ceremony. And then we'll all then go afterwards and have dinner at the Picture and Piano, and we'll end up drinking scruff gin down at the gin vaults. Now, it's only a miserly, fantastically priced £12 to get into Birmingham Town Hall on Saturday, November the 9th. And much fun and hilarity will ensue, because Lucy will be on form. Angela Barnes, the funny woman from the news quiz and all other things on Radio 4, will be there. And so will Susie Rids, our Susie Riddell, who plays our Tracy Horobin, who's definitely the character of the moment. She will be on stage with us as well. So it's only £12. Go buy your tickets. It's lovely to see that you are buying tickets for it, but buy more. Buy more. Tell your friends. And if your friends don't even like the Archers, spoon feed them dollops of the Archers between now and then. Exactly. Sit them down in front of a radio, turn it up to 11 so they can fully enjoy everything that Ambridge has to offer, and they will love it. You'll make them love it. And then buy them a ticket. Get them to come along. Tweets. It's not tweets. It's those mirror headlines. Go for it, Lucy.
This one is from Claire Asprey, who found it in the Birmingham Mail.
Haven't we
Dad's
had
fury
another
after
on this,
Builder has...
this episode? Don't you think?
Clearly not. But No, from the Birmingham Mail. Dad's fury after builder has poo on roof.
Ooh.
Yes. Ooh. He was fixing the roof and he stopped and had a poo.
But how do you know he pooed on the roof?
Because someone took a photo of him doing it. Then apparently he dropped it down the chimney.
This gets worse and worse.
I thought that bit was a bit upsetting, so I cut off to turn. Tweets of the week. Madding crowd. Mm-hmm. I think Jenny Darling's ridiculous behaviour is post-traumatic stress disorder from losing the Albion kitchen finally manifesting. There is no other explanation. I know it does seem slightly out of character. Julian Smith. While Jennifer's at the hospital, she could ask the midwife to cut Adam's umbilical cord. Yes. Miranda. Just a reminder that Tom is 38. Is he still on holiday or has border control refused them entry? This is very true. They've been on that sodding holiday to Cuba forever. John Porter, pie in a pint. In Justin's defence, converting an abattoir could make sense. I've worked in many offices where by 4:45 p.m. I have been praying for the sweet release of death. And finally, is Hinge Zandel at the christening. Alan. Sorry about the mix-up. Everyone kept saying it, so I thought, fuck off, Jennifer was the baby's name.
That was very good, sir. Very good. Very good. Very good indeed.
And also, as everybody on the Twitters pointed out, when the Archers website... when the Archer's Twitter feed released a publicity shot of Adam and Ian with little Xander Macy Craig, that child was at least 5 months old. It's huge. They said no wonder Lexi was making so much noise. She gave birth to a toddler. It's enormous.
Folks,
I'm fading fast, Roy. Fading
you
fast.
You are. I'm gonna wrap up. I'm gonna wrap up at double quick speed. Folks, you can hear that our Lucy is struggling. So let's just do this. Dumbdumb.com. It's got our shop and other things on there. And you should go there to go through the back catalogue of shows. You can leave comments on the shows, and slowly but surely you are, which is wonderful. So why don't you go onto dumbdumb.com, go do that, and then hit shop. And then peruse our wares on the shop, in the shop even. Now, this whole thing being Dumbdy-Dum, the universe of Dumbdy-Dum is made available by your kind donations that you leave us on Patreon.com. So if you'd like to become one of the merry band of Dumbdy-Dum ultras that support the show, why don't you go onto Patreon.com? It's $2 per show, and what you get is extra content, which is Lucy and I interviewing the actors on the show. We don't do it every month. I think on average probably do it every other month. You get about 4 or 5 said actor interviews a year, so it's well worth it, and that content is exclusive only to Dumbdy-Dum Patreons. We do have the Flick app in the show notes of this show. If you click or if you go and look at them, there is a link so you can download an app where there's a community of Dumbdy-Dummers who chat away and talk about forthcoming plot lines and what they've had for dinner, where they are in the world, and other random bits of trivia that only Dumbdy-Dum listeners
see.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it all kicked off on there too. Oh, I nearly flounced off, Lucy, I tell you. I don't need this at all.
You nearly flicked off.
I did. I nearly flicked off the Flick app. Yeah. But it is a lovely place. And I've made one or two new friends on the Flick app. It's really nice to be able to chat to people and to DM on that. Is it as caustic as Twitter? No, but it's warm and cuddly. It's like just like taking your shoes off at the end of the day and just like being in front of the fire. That Flick app is absolutely lovely. Is there anything in red?
Yes, there was, and I was just about to do it. To get in contact, you can send us a voice message via SpeakPipe on the website, or you can call 0203 031 3105. to leave a message.
Now, we talked about the Flick app and we talked about dumdydum.com. Now we should talk about Twitter, which is the spiritual home of this podcast. It's where Lucy and I's eyes met over a tweet, and we went, I think I like you. And the feeling was mutual. And then we hooked up at, where did we go? We went to, Crumbs, that place down at the South Bank, didn't we?
The Royal Festival Hall, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you looked me up and down rather quizzically. And I thought, cheeky bit, looking really, yeah, you did. I thought you thought I was going to be taller, more imposing. Anyway, I remember I walked off to go get you a cup of tea, and I looked over my shoulder and you were still looking at me. The crushing disappointment was just writ large on your face, Lucy. But still, we had that cup of tea. We had a chat. And then a week later, we recorded the first Dum-de-dum, and the rest has been podcasting history. So Twitter, go there. At Dum-de-dum is our handle, but you won't really find Lucy or I there. It's Yokel Bear masquerading as Lucy and I, and doing a very good job.
Doing actually a much better, job.
Yes, he does a much better job. Yeah, totally. Very funny and on point. Yep. And during the omnibus, that man comes into his own. So well done, Mr. Bear, for being you. And Mr. Bear will be coming to deliver his social media roundup live at Dum-de-dum Live in Brum. Yes, he will be coming up. And he's got a special star turn, he said. He sent me a rather ominous tweet saying, saying, I've got something up my sleeve. I went, what's that then? He said, it's a surprise. So there you go.
Oh,
talking
no.
about surprises. Well, this is less of a surprise and more of a just like a now regular occurrence. Mr. Andrew Horn, the man of the classical arts, but he's not at all elitist, will be leading everybody in Birmingham Town Hall to a rendition of Barwick Green. He said, Royfield, can I do this again? And I said, absolutely, sir. So be warned. So if you need to train your vocal cords before November the 9th, I suggest you start getting them trained now, because Andrew will brook no bum notes. He's a stickler and a very good conductor. So be warned. On Twitter, I can half ramble. On Twitter, you can find me where I'm at Royfield, and Lucy is at
Lucy V. Freeman.
And then, of course, Robert is at Naked Fingers, and Angela Barnes is at Angela Barnes. Facebook, go there. You know, there's such a different vibe. And I was having this conversation with somebody specifically about Twitter. And one of the many reasons why Dum-de-dum has turned out the way that it has, the fact that we can talk about, there's a certain amount of political comment, social comment, etc. And it is from a left of center bias. It's quite simply is because Twitter skews left of center. On a whole, and it's kind of a known thing, whereas Facebook is kind of right of center, and there's a very different vibe. That's not to say that there are raving fascists on the Dum-de-dum Facebook group. I'm not saying that at all, but it is a different thing with a different kind of sensibility. So if you don't like things a little bit sharp and pointed, so to speak, you can go on to our Facebook group and type, quite simply, find us on that platform by typing in Dum-de-dum, and then you get Millie Bell, Yokel Bear, and Witherspoon kind of controlling things. And what they do on a Saturday is lovely, where they have a non-Archers related post, generally generated by Witherspoon, and they just talk about all manner of stuff, as is my one, generally, halfway through a Dum-de-dum. So go on to Facebook if you're not already a member of the clan there. So, Luce, do people need to start sending in cough and cold remedies?
No, again? I'll be fine. I'll be fine, she says heroically. No. I'll be all right by next week.
But no sexual pun intended, right? But you do appear to be a bit weak of chest, Luce, because this is, as I said before, this is not the first.
Yes.
or the second. I reckon this is the third or fourth time that you've, I was going to say manfully, womanfully, personably done your dum-dum duties whilst not being completely and utterly in fine fettle. So we thank you for that, Lucy. Well done, you. You're so brave.
It is a pleasure. I am waving my tissues at you in graceful gratitude.
Are these white tissues? Is this the universal sign of surrender? Have you given up?
Yes, absolutely. I
Let
have,
it totally. All be over. All right. I think I've just about done everything that I wanted to do. I mentioned Ottawa, and I'll mention it again. If you are in the Ottawa region or can get to Ottawa on Saturday, the 26th of October, approximately 3 weeks' time, send me an email or go on to dumdydum.com, hit contact us. If there's a couple of people that can make it, I will tell Maddie to unleash the dogs, so to speak. And yes, she can arrange a little mini meetup. Not anything big, not anything fancy, but it would be nice if maybe two or three extra dum-de-dummers can make that in Ottawa. And we'll get Maddie, who's an Ottawa native, to plan that, because she really wants to give it a go. And Dum-de-dum Live in Brum, December the 9th. It's going to be awesome. And, oh, Brighton. There you go. I knew there was something else. My last thing to say is people want to see you in Brighton on October the 12th.
I did that at the start Eagle of the Pub. Show.
I know you did. I'm just wrapping up, Luce. I'm just giving everybody all the information that they need
okay.
to go on their dum-de-dum way.
Okay.
Eagle Pub, 1 p.m. Saturday, and it's going to be lots of fun. And what you need to do is you need to tweet Kerry Warbis or Angela Barnes on the Twitters, and then they'll do something, and then you'll have a name tag, and it'll be lots of fun. There you go. That's dum-de-dum for another week. Done. Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.